Hey, welcome back to Oh For Fuck's Sake. I'm Lenny, your host, and it is November 19th. It's Tuesday, November 19th. It's kind of late here. I have been running around like a mad woman, let me tell you. Good Lord. Whew, it's been crazy. Anyways, so I'm here, I'm posting. We're going to do this today. Anyways, today I'm going to deep dive into a topic that shapes so much of how we view mental health, and that is the stigma. But before I do that, you know I gotta give you the goods. So, the goods for today are, it's International Men's Day. Whoops, I missed that today. Just kidding. It's National Entrepreneurs Day, and it's National Women's Entrepreneurs Day. I didn't know we needed to have our own, but that's okay. It's International Journalist Day. It's National Camp Day. National Have a Bad Day. I like this one because it's like, don't sugarcoat it. Don't be like, yeah, I'm good, I'm fine. No, say fuck you, leave me alone. I'm having a bad day, leave me alone. It's National Integration Day. You know, it's just the message of importance of unity regardless of, you know, race or religion. And then National Play Monopoly and Future Teachers of America Day. My mom's a teacher, fun fact. So for all the future teachers out there. And the Have a Bad Day thing, I was reading, and I think it's funny because it said that it's like a fun fact that a person complains about 30 times a day. Isn't that crazy? I mean, I complain way more than that, but especially to my roommate. She just loves me for that, but I'm just saying. 30 times a day, woof, that's a lot. Anyways, moving on. It is National Bible Week. It is National AMR Awareness Week. And that is antimicrobial resistance, which that takes place when microbes such as bacteria and viruses evolve so that they no longer respond to the type of meds to treat them. That's crazy. That's scary kind of actually, because I'm just thinking that if you get sick, you can, nothing's going to help you. Oh, I would die. Especially me being Sarah Harper and all, you know. And then it's just so fitting that it's also U.S. Antibiotic Awareness Week. And then lastly, but not leastly, Transgender Awareness Week. Now, for the birthdays, we have Tyga, Adam Driver, he's from Star Wars, if anybody doesn't know him, Larry King, Calvin Klein. I didn't even realize that Calvin Klein was still alive. That's so bad. But he is. He's 82. He turned 82 today. Good for him. And he looks good still, too. So, good for you, Mr. Klein. And then you have Carson Beck. He is a... Oh my goodness. Anyways, that was my little man interrupting me, being silly as usual. So Carson Beck is the quarterback for the Georgia Bulldogs. Jodie Foster is also 62 today. Meg Ryan is 63. Patrick Kane, he plays for the Chicago Blackhawks. He's a hockey player. And then Fred Warner, he's a football player for the 49ers. He's defensive. And, of course, I did not forget my Libra loves. The first horoscope is from horoscope.com. You can expect your mood to improve today. The professional and private projects that you have at the moment should be progressing well. You feel reassured and you're encouraged to make some new plans. If you continue to keep the good rhythm, you will have success in redefining your goals and life direction. Kind of sounds like my day, how it was today. Okay. And the other one is from MSN. If you are obsessive about finding objects where you left them, then today you're in for a big surprise. Oh gosh. People in your entourage will almost seem ridiculous. Nothing will happen the way you intended it. Don't let this get you down. You should seize this opportunity to stop for a while and pull the strings. Interesting. I don't think I had any, where did I place something today? Moments. So I should be good. I think I'm pretty good. I didn't have any of those today. So if you are joining me today for the first time, I am in season 3. We are talking about mental health. We are in the season of mental health. It's Mental Health Awareness Month, National Suicide, all the feels, all the things. So today I'm going to dive deep into a topic that shapes so much of how we view mental health, and that's the stigmas. You know, okay, let's start with what does stigma mean? You know, by definition, a stigma is a mark of a shame or discredit, something that labels a person or group as less than in the eyes of others. So it's like an invisible scar that society places on people. And this is often because of ignorance, fear, and judgment. I'm gonna say that one more time. It's usually placed on people by society with no concept of what it actually means, because they're assuming and making asses out of you and me with their ignorance, fear, and judgment. Okay? So that is what causes stigmas. And when it comes to mental health, stigmas have been around for centuries. They're fueled by misconceptions. It's because there's so much lack of understanding. And instead of, mental health being treated as part of like our overall well-being, like physical health, it's often seen as a flaw, maybe a weakness even, or even like people are ashamed and need to hide it. And that's where the problem lies. Mental health doesn't just hurt feelings, I'm not talking about so-and-so hurt my feelings and called me this or that. I'm talking like the mental health stigmas that create, those real life, real situation, real world events in people's lives that shape and change and usually stick with them for a lifetime. It keeps people from talking openly about their struggles, going and seeking the help, or even acknowledging their own needs. Like, they put themselves on the back burner, and that's not healthy. Think about how many times have you heard somebody say, snap out of it, or you're being so dramatic, or like, oh, woe is me, she's just having one of her moments, or whatever, Sarah Harper over here. But those phrases come from places of stigma, and they shut down so many important conversations for people, because nobody likes to be pointed at in center of attention in a negative situation, or something that you may think is a negative situation. To me, and I've had to learn this, and I've really had to soak it in and accept it and like keep my mouth shut, because I used to just react, or I used to just say whatever. I still will say what I want to say, but at least I think about it for a good 5 seconds. But anyways, but I'm being serious. Like, nobody likes to be pointed at and stuff like that. It's just not a good feeling. It's not ever a good, whatever. So, but I will tell you that any criticism, any advice, any just opinion or whatever, you need to keep your mind open to it. You need to just, somebody wants to say something, okay, listen. And chances are, if someone's genuinely coming to you and telling you something, or trying to help out, or, just trying to just be there, or tell you that, hey, I've been there before, I've lived it, this is what happened for me, listen, and soak it in, take it in. The worst you can do is say, thanks, thanks anyways. Or the best that could happen is, boom, wow, this person really understands what I'm going through and can relate. And that right there is one step in the movement of progressing and moving forward and just lifting others up and, just moving in a positive way for mental health. It's crazy. But, mental health, this is deep. It is a deep, deep, deep conversation. And it's a lot. Like, I won't lie. I've definitely, between being the hustle and the bustle and running around and everything else, recording these, brings up a lot of memories and stuff like that. And then I go down a little rabbit hole sometimes. And, I think that actually has just made me real tired lately, not gonna lie, it's like, whew, it's draining, it's exhausting. It's like, just, go down the road of my dad, go down the road of, the other day was an anniversary of one of my good friends, she passed from an overdose, just And then I got it literally when I was making my post for her and thinking about her the other day. I was just bawled my eyes out. And I'm not a huge crier or bawler. But I was like, damn, man, I needed to let that go. But yeah, it's heavy. It's a lot. But I'm going to break it all down. We're going to talk about the different types of stigmas, you know, how they show up in everyday life. But most importantly, the impact, you know, and the society puts on as a whole, you know, from the workplace to the social circles to cultural expectations and your own personal battles. You know, stigmas are everywhere. It's just like you deal with mental health every day. But here's the thing, you know, stigmas thrive on silence, if you think about it. And today, I'm going to speak up and I'm going to say something. This season, I'm going to speak up and I'm going to say something. And I'm just going to address the elephants in the room. I'm going to call out the people on the top of the hill throwing stones at the people in the glass houses. And I'm going to sweep around my own front door, thank you very much, before you try and sweep around mine. I don't know if anybody's ever heard that one, but boom. I'm just saying, my broom might be old, but it still works. And it's actually freaking working better now than ever. So, yeah. And I did, and you know, it's crazy as I'm sitting here doodling my notes and everything else, you know, one of my favorites, John chapter 8, verse 7. This verse just popped right up into my head. So, John chapter 8, verse 7. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Let that sink in for a minute, okay? And that's why I referenced the whole people in their glass houses throwing stones. Because not one person is perfect. Say it again. Not one perfect person is perfect. Not one person is perfect. See, right there. Just showed you. But seriously, man. I mean, just the humanity and everything in today's world is just... it's disappointing. It's sad. And it's crazy because it's so disappointing. It's so sad because it takes such little teeny tiny things of effort that go such a long way, you know? So, okay, before I get up on my soapbox here, let me see. So I have written down some of the stigmas that are out there, you know, the social stigma, self-stigma, the cultural stigma, the workplace stigma, the gender stigma, generational, which is another big one, religion and spirituality. I'm going to go into that just a little bit. Media, that's a big one, huge one. And then you've got, you know, money and health. So, let me dive right into those real quick. I don't want to keep you guys too long, but I just want you guys to really understand, you know, it just the bottom line of all of the roots from all of this, roots from it all. Like I said, and repeated, you know, it is something that society places on people because of their ignorance, fear, and judgment. And that alone. And that comes from that person internally. And that person needs to do a little self-reflecting. But anyways, back to my stuff. Okay, so social stigmas. Now, what does that mean? You know, it's like the general public towards people on mental health and their conditions. You know, the labeling, it's the stereotyping, it's the exclusion, all of that. And that, you know, affects people and lets individuals just stay to themselves even more. They avoid the social setting due to all the fear and the judgment leading them to loneliness and, you know, shying away and getting away from everybody. But society often misunderstands conditions like depression and schizophrenia, and it attributes them to being failures rather than recognizing them as a medical issue. And that's what pisses me off, especially like with my dad. Not that any of us ever thought of him as a failure, but it was just so much more. There was so much more, and I feel like we're missing a lot of stuff, you know? And it's hard to explain, but that's how I feel. And I say this because, you know, I used to see too sometimes, like, the stares he would get, or, like, even, like, the frustration sometimes, and the effect that they have on others around them. And I could see that. So they just, and it can start anywhere. the social thing starts anywhere, like school, the little kids, you know, it's starting in the schools, you know, being labeled in your neighborhoods, in your community areas, all the things. Oh, look, there's a crazy lady. And I joke around and I tell my daughter, you know, I'm the crazy mom, but who knows? I probably have people out there thinking that I am the crazy mom. Whatever. To each their own. But a person diagnosed with bipolar disorder is going to be unfairly labeled as unstable and dangerous, leading then all of their coworkers and, you know, family and friends to distance themselves from this person. So we have to educate people through the awareness of mental health and doing stuff like I'm doing with the podcast and all the things, you know, just all the things. There's a lot of things out there that people, just little things that people miss out and don't realize, and that little things that will help people move in a positive way. It's just being aware of it, understanding it, recognizing it, knowing it, and knowing it all properly, you know, accurately, using it, being knowledgeable of this stuff. Okay, moving on to the self-stigma. That's when somebody internalizes their themselves with the way society negatively believes how their mental health is projecting. Guess, basically, how I should put more of that. I don't know, that probably came out horrible. So, self-stigmas are when you basically, you're judging yourself. You're judging yourself now. You're judging you, and you're just so worried and concerned about the shame and the self-criticism, and that alone just makes somebody feel like shit. You know, they're gonna feel unworthy. They're gonna not feel loved. They're not gonna feel like they're succeeding anything in life. You know, to avoid this, they're not going to go seek help, because then if they think that they're failing and they can't do anything to help themselves, why would anybody else be able to do that for them? And then that becomes a worsened symptom in its own. You know, it's just, it's the ripple effect, the ripple. Negative self-perception, you know, exacerbates into depression and anxiety, and then all the other conditions, you know, because somebody, a person with anxiety might be thinking, I'm just a weak, you know, I'm weak, and I'm just going to avoid the therapy, because then it causes their anxiety to even worsen. So it's just letting people know it's okay to go get help, it's okay to talk to somebody, it's okay to, you know, I mean, granted, you probably shouldn't walk into your first meeting and spill your whole entire guts out, but hey, I mean, if you came into my office, if I was like a licensed therapist, I would not mind, just like. So now you have your cultural stigmas. Those arise from your beliefs about mental health in different societal settings, often like linking to the family honor, the curses and the weaknesses. You know, people are going to avoid speaking about their struggles in fear of shame again. Some cultures view professional help as like a taboo, and like an unnecessary taboo. The younger people might even struggle with the balance of being culturally the expectations that they have within their cultures, and, you know, asking for help. Oh my God, you know, that's, oh, don't do that. You already should know about it. And, you know, depression might lead to, you know, you're being lazy and you need to pray harder, and you need to, cause I'm using reference to Catholic, you know, you're sad, you're home, you're alone, you didn't go to church today. Oh my God, you know, God took a break on Sundays to rest. I think if you took one Sunday out of the month, whatever, he is not going to strike you down right there. So, you know, just reframing the mental health is, you know, the leaders need to, cultural people need to reframe that mental health is like a shared, valid reason for people to come together. And it's okay to go to your community and, work on these things together. You know, that's why I'm trying so dang hard for my kids' school to get a youth group going, because that will help so much. Okay, now the next one I put was the workplace. Workplace, obviously, you know, that's going to stem from your professionalism, where you're productive, productivity and your reliability and your workload and everything else are just how you're valued, how you're either overvalued or undervalued. Some employees hide their struggles, you know, missing out on the promotions and all the other things and going undiagnosed and untreated. It spirals, and then it messes with your money, and then it messes with, you know, the people around you and everything else. The workplace, bringing it, and I know that's hard to say, but that's why a lot of people work from home nowadays. Not gonna lie, you know, that's why people, we have so many work from home jobs now. God, I feel like there's, it's crazy. We've got computers and machines and everything else doing stuff for us nowadays. It's because people don't want the people interaction anymore. You know, an employee with PTSD is going to avoid telling their manager, you know, that they are unreliable and they're suffering silently. So, I mean, go to your boss, say, hey, can I take 5 minutes? You know, can I take 5 minutes? I just need to clear my head or something. I'm sure they'll be like, okay, well, you know, just don't goof off and don't do it every 5 minutes. But get yourself back together and get on it. You know, everybody is not, and I get it, because people are just assholes nowadays, and you never know. But I feel like if you're upfront with somebody and you're honest with somebody and you communicate, people have to listen. They have to listen, and they have to, you know, take a minute to take in what you're telling them. If you're going to take a second to tell them something, they gotta have the respect in me, you know, they have to give that back, to reciprocate that. So, and you never know, some of these freaking companies, I'm telling you, they will pay employees for mental health leave. I'm telling you, if you look into some of them, I'm not saying all of them, and don't quote me, and don't freaking report me or anything like crazy like that, but don't, Bible, whatever. But I know there are some of them out there that will do the whole medical leave thing. Yeah, so, oh Lord, I'm over here almost yawning. Because it's got light. Anyways, then you have your gender stigma. Okay, so the gender and the generational ones. Those are the ones where, you know, if she's a girl, you know, she's so whiny, crying, you know, that stigma of the gender whole role. You know, women are supposed to be the hormonal and, oh my God, the emotional ones, and the men are supposed to be the tough ones, and you know, I don't have issues, I don't need to say anybody, blah 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 blah. Then they suppress and they suppress and they suppress, you know, come on, you know. And then you go into like your non-binaries and your transgenders. I can't even imagine, I'm not even gonna speak for them, but they're tied to a whole different world with that, you know. But say a man's experienced depression. He's experiencing depression, you know. He's going to refuse to acknowledge it because he believes that he has to man up instead. You know, you've heard that term. Why don't you just man up? No, men go through it too. I have dated a bunch of crybabies, let me tell you. And that's okay. I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but for all the women out there who are so naive and think that men don't cry, and for all the men out there who think that women don't shit, I'm sorry. Grow up. Anyways, I just have to throw that one out there. But that's really what it is. Women have their struggles dismissed because we're on our period, or it's the time of her month, you know, she's so emotional. No, we have our bad days without the fucking period. Like, we are allowed to do that. We're allowed to have that. I mean, that's, I'm not saying that even when we're on our periods or we're not on our periods, we don't need to be assholes, but that's mental health. That is mental health. And for the gender thing, go out and go to like-minded females. Go to like-minded males. Join those groups. Do a softball team. You know, all those things. That helps your mental health. Now, the generational one, you know, the older generation seems to think that mental health struggles are associated with weakness, and then you're lazy, and you're, you know, oh, this kid is, you know, in his room all day long. No, you know what? First of all, you gotta understand what age they are. Then again, younger individuals, you know, are gonna feel the world's ending and blah blah blah, and oh, my life's over, you know, whatever. But you do have to understand, they still, they're kids. They're still humans. They're still people. They still needed time too. So don't be so quick to write those little ones off. But no, I just, with the generational stigmas, you know, because the older people often view mental health differently than younger people, it creates a barrier. It creates a wall. It creates like a misunderstanding, and then you don't have the support. It's like the whole, your parents don't get it, you know, or when you're speaking to your children, it's just like, come on, when's the light bulb gonna click on, you know? All those little things, especially when you're talking about certain things, it can be frustrating, it can be, you know, aggravating. But again, you have to go back to the, that's on you. You have to realize how you're reacting to how someone else is taking something, or how your reactions are affecting your own. Like, if I sat here and got mad at all the stigmas that were put on me and everything through, you know, even the past 10 years of my life, and if I let it get to me, or if I let it, you know, eat me away or whatever, I'm gonna tell you right now, I wouldn't be here for sure, because of all the shit that I've been called and the names. And, you know, I've met a few people, you know, out and about, and I've run into them and they're like, oh, I know who you are. I'm like, yeah, hi, I'm sure you do. And that's the first thing, and it's sad, because the first thing that runs through my head is like, oh God, what has been said about me, you know? Because I know I'm not a bad person. I've never been a bad person. I might have done some bad things, but I'm not a bad person. And their reaction, and it just them saying, wow, you're pretty cool, like, or you're not such a bitch, is like, yeah, no shit, motherfucker. No, I'm just kidding. It's like, yeah, no kidding. I might have the resting bitch face, but I am a nice person deep down. But it sucks, because, like I said, those stigmas are put on people, and it's because, again, of the lack of knowledge, their ignorance, their fear, and judgment. Again, ignorance, fear, and judgment. So that's on that person. But anyways, moving on. After generational stigma, I wrote down the religious and the spiritual. Now, I don't want to get too far deep down into those, but you know, mental health issues is seen as like spiritual failures, and you have to get these divine interventions to be healed and blessed. And yeah, it's just, you don't have enough faith, you know, your soul reliance on spiritual practices delays your professionalness and anything else. And it's just, it leads from you being excluded, honestly, from faith groups and stuff like that. I mean, I'm not speaking by any means on my community, my church, or anything like that, but a person with severe anxiety might be told, just pray it away, you know, instead of receiving the actual therapy and medicine. And I'm not saying that praying is not a cure by any means. I'm not saying that either, for everybody else who's going to attack me on that comment. But I'm not saying that either. I'm not saying not pray. Pray every day. Pray every day, every minute. That's you. That's you and God. That's between you and him upstairs. You know, that's got nothing to do with anybody else. But when you work with your faith leaders and they create supportive environments, that only brings everybody closer to God. You know, that's the way that I look at it. You're promoting the idea that professional help or something outside of prayer also can exist with prayer. So you have the coexisting of, you know, professional help and faith. That's all I'm going to say about that. Okay. And in the media and the pop culture stigma, good Lord, it's crazy, you know. God, do they perpetrate harmful stereotypes? I swear to you, it's just misrepresented in media. You know, conditions like schizophrenia are portrayed as violent and dangerous. You know, you've seen all the actors, oh my God, he's a schizo, or like, just one night out, like, what was it, Justin Timberlake, the other, DUI driving, it's like, whoop-boom, he got slapped with all these different names and everything else. You know, the public avoids understanding mental health out of unfounded fears, you know. It's the fear, the fear, the fear, the fear. And then since you fear it so much, you know, social media portrays it as shameful. You know, sharing your struggles is shameful. Like, I am so glad that so much of addiction is coming back around and they've got so many groups. I mean, I was on my watching, oh my God, this group on addiction, this podcast-ish kind of group or whatever. They were fucking awesome, man. And I was on there for like a good 2 hours. But it was just so good to be like, wow, like they're not pointing fingers. They're not bashing anybody. They're not, you know, even one guy was like, dude, I was clean 5 years and fucked up. But I'm back again, you know, and that was because he had a good tribe and he had the positive reinforcements and the right mental health providers and stuff like that to back him and be behind him. But it sucks because, I mean, you have even have movies out there depicting people with dissociative identity disorders and, you know, criminals as villains and all the other stuff, you know, making society fear all this shit. And it's crazy. So we just need the people out there to advocate, represent mental health in a better way for entertainment. Stop putting such harsh shit on these freaking public figures, you know, the celebrities and stuff like that. We get it, but they're human too, guys. I mean, come on. They're human too. They're gonna fuck up. I can't even imagine that. That's why I could never get into that world. I couldn't do it. I couldn't do the limelight. I couldn't do the spotlight. I couldn't do all that crap. But I can't imagine mental health for some of these celebrities. But that's, I mean, you gotta have a strong backbone to live that world. But I'm just saying, they need better education or better representation of mental health in the entertainment industry is all I gotta say about that. Medical, I don't know. I don't really want to go into that because I know nothing about medical. I'll have to ask somebody, but you know, and I feel like this is just a whole thing on its own because you have your healthcare professionals that are biased, and then you have mental health struggles, you know, that are less valid than your physical illnesses, and then you get your physical illnesses are there, and it's just symptoms are downplayed and attributed to the personality traits and stuff like that. So it just gets, it's a fine line that sometimes patients are walking on, and then they're going to lose, and then you got your patients that just lose faith in the medical system, and then there we go again, avoiding the care, getting the help altogether. You know, it's just lack of understanding that leads to the improper treating of mental health. And that's another big one. And I feel like I just don't want to go into it too much tonight because, one, I'm exhausted. And, two, that's exactly where I feel like my dad was at on his journey. He just wasn't getting the proper medical attention. And it just drove me insane. And my dad was, okay, so my dad had this little tendency he used to do. He used to like scratch his arms, his forearms, and he'd scratch and scratch and scratch, and he'd get to scratching so hard that he'd scratch scabs and he'd pick at himself. And you know, now that I've been through rehab and I've been around addicts and people on drugs and stuff like that, hello, now I know why my dad used to do that kind of shit. His dose is too high, or it's just not working. He's doing other things, and you can see, being this doctor, I would feel like you could see that when he comes in to see you at his freaking doctor's appointment. When he used to wear sweatbands up his arms so nobody would see, stuff like that. It's just like, damn, now it just hits me like a brick, and I'm like, oh shit, that's why. At least I think that's why. I'm just guessing and assuming, but for real. I mean, he didn't do it all the time. And it seemed to only only be when he was either switching meds or on one for too long. So, I don't know. But training the healthcare providers, you know, promoting integrated care models and addressing that both the physical and the mental health go hand in hand. It's just all those things. And then I kind of already touched on the economic, you know, that if you have the money, you have the stigma of, oh, you know, you got it all together. I've seen some of the hobo-ish looking people. I'm going to tell you right now, the most hobo-ish looking people. And I have nothing against hobos, trust me, by any means. I was an advocate for homeless people. I love homeless people. But I say hobo because that's what everybody, that's what they pop in their head and that's what you relate to. But anyways, some of the smartest, wealthiest, blow your mind kind of people. So don't have the fear of, oh my God, look at this person and they're coming to talk to me and oh my God, blah, blah. They could, yeah, for all you know, they could have their fucking, whatever parked Maserati behind them, wherever, and you'd have no idea. I mean, stop judging books by their covers. That's, again, where the stigmas lie. But I think with the money too, it also comes with economical, you know, economically being able to afford things. And, you know, I can't pay for the therapy, I can't pay for the medication, I can't, and then the healthcare and all the other crap that goes hand in hand. So it's, and it's tough. Trust me. I mean, the single parents dealing with depression are going to skip therapy. I see it, no doubt, 100%, because it's an unaffordable luxury. I'll say that again. So single people out there, you know, even college kids, younger people are going to skip that because they just can't afford that luxury. And I have my air quotes going. So that's something you need to be splurging on. Not just Starbucks in the morning and not your, you know, Target runs or whatever. Just, we gotta just, I don't know, just the affordable and free mental health service. I wish I could be like an unlicensed therapist. I think I'd be really good at it. I don't know. But really, I'm serious. We gotta normalize like people being able to seek help through public campaigns and resources and like awareness walks and all the things, because we just gotta get everyone's, and I get it, like I said, it's a ripple effect, it's a trickle effect, it all hits and connects and whatever, so one thing happens, it's just whoop. But it comes down to how you react, your reaction, especially your reaction to, I thought about this the other day, not to get off track or anything, but I'm like squirrel, but so I think it was me and my best friend were talking about it. It was like my daughter and the way that she was reacting because she wasn't getting our reaction, and it only pisses her off even more. But that's the thing. That's the thing. It's like she's letting that get to her when she should just be like, okay, you know, they're not reacting. Let me switch it up and do something else. I'm just kidding. But that is it. Like, it's always to get our reaction out of something or somebody, or who cares, just let it go, just let it drop, let it ride, you know. Again, it goes back to, you know, I used to do that. I used to be like, oh yeah, that's what you heard, well, and I'd freaking stalk somebody down until I'd be like, okay, say what you said, did you really say that? And then, okay, now you're gonna say it in front of this person and you're gonna tell them, and say, now it's like, what the fuck, I'd never do that, I just don't give a fucking I don't care. Whatever. Think what you want. You're not in my life for a reason, so it don't matter. But yeah, that's just the gist of it. But for real, you know, let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone. So until you're perfect, we just gotta get these, and they're never gonna go away. Don't get me wrong. Stigmas are never gonna go anywhere because we just have fucking people out there. But we gotta just help the fact that mental health should be, we should have the awareness of it being not a bad thing. Mental health isn't a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. It's not. So find the resources, get the tools, you know, get the help, talk to the people, build your tribe, get the right people around you. Like I said, it's just little things go a super, super long way. But I wanted to get this out before the night closed. I'm pooped for real, and I still got probably an hour's worth of work I still got to do before I go to bed. But thank you guys so much for being here. I want to switch it up a little bit come December, so I'm excited for that. But until then, I'll be back on Thursday. So again, thank you guys for listening. I know this is a lot. This is made me even more tired just thinking about mental health and the stigmas, but it's good. It's good to get it out there. It's good to talk about it. You know, it's good. So, but anywho, I'm going to go ahead and get all this stuff done so I can hop in bed, put my feet up, and watch some Netflix and chill. Just kidding. Netflix and zonk out and snore before I know it. But again, have a fabulous night. Sweet dreams. And don't forget, don't do anything I wouldn't do.